Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
12:30, Kev, on the nose here. We've got a half hour of our show here, and we'd like it if you called in here and asked us some questions about your computers, because that's always fun and entertaining for our listeners. So give us a call. 395-1450 is the best way to get a hold of us.
The other way to get a hold of us is to send us an email. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're sitting at a computer or if you got your BlackBerry handy, go ahead, computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
In addition to your calls and emails, we'll also have some news stories here today for you. There's always something new in the world of technology. That's half of the fun of what we do, isn't it, Kev? There's always something going on.
Always something.
Keeps you on your toes, but it also feels like as fast as you run, it's always hard to stay up.
That's right. There's always something else out there. But we will do our best to distill all of that news and just give you the parts that actually matter.
Well, at least that we think matter.
To you.
To be entertaining.
That's true.
Now, you're also welcome to check out our podcast. Easiest way is, of course, if you've got iTunes, just search for WHTC in the library and or in the music store, rather, and you'll see us pop right up on there. So check out the podcast. More people subscribe to that all the time.
That's true. The numbers do go up. It's good.
And
I'd like to hear from those podcast listeners,
that's
too.
That's right. We get some emails here from various podcast listeners. It's kind of fun to get those from all around. This is the fun thing, here, obviously, WHTC is a local station, but people all around the world could tune us in. That's mostly fun. Around the U.S., though. Well, Kev, some news here. I don't know if you've heard about this.
What's that?
It's not, I shouldn't be laughing, actually. That's a serious thing. Have you heard about the new medical disorder that's being linked to video games?
No, I haven't heard about that yet.
Well, there's a new skin disorder called...
Does it explain your symptoms?
I don't have symptoms. I have a little calluses here, but that's from lifting weights.
Okay. Yeah, that Wii controller's getting pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, there's a new skin disorder, and it's caused by the use of game consoles. Mm-hmm. It's been identified by skin specialists. The condition, which has been dubbed PlayStation Palmar Hidradenitis, or Hidradenitis, sorry, is described in the British Journal of Dermatology. Researchers outlined the case of a 12-year-old girl who attended a Swiss hospital with intensely painful sores on the palms of her hands. The girl, who had been using a game console regularly, recovered fully after 10 days of abstinence.
Oh, look at that.
The doctor suspected the problem was caused by tight and continuous grasping of the console's hand grips and repeated pushing of the buttons alongside sweating caused by tension of the game.
Funny.
Isn't that amazing?
That is something else.
They even have a little
else.
Picture here, but it's in black and white, so you can't see it too
can't
well.
See what happens there.
They say this is an interesting discovery and one that the researchers are keen to share. If you're worried about soreness on your hands when playing a games console, it might be sensible to give your hands a break from time to time.
What a novel idea.
Don't play excessively if your hands are prone to
sore. If it hurts when you're doing that, don't do it.
I remember when the Nintendo came out, Kev, when we were kids.
Yep.
There was a story about a girl who'd been playing Mario Brothers so much that her thumbs were, they were just being rubbed raw.
Sure.
So she taught herself to play with her index fingers.
Couldn't take a break. You just got to kind of change up the motions. But actually, they've come a long way in the ergonomics of, console gaming controllers.
Look
at those. They fit so nicely into your hands.
Not like the old square.
Oh, yeah, the old Nintendo square with all those sharp edges that kind of cut into the sides of your fingers.
Yep, absolutely.
So
they've definitely thought about that.
Yeah.
But, we've seen this with video games where people will play for on and on and on. And actually, a couple people have died from playing for so long. So I guess...
that's like ridiculous amounts. Like playing for days straight without sleeping. That's when you risk your life.
Maybe a little balance.
That's right. Moral of the story, a little bit of balance.
You play too many video games, not a good thing.
Yep.
Also, Kev, this is sort of an ironic story, but Steve Ballmer has been pleading for openness to compete with Apple.
Really?
You remember back in the good old days of Microsoft's monopoly?
Sure, yeah.
When they could basically do whatever they wanted, and everybody was arguing that Microsoft was the one who was being closed. Well, that's sort of the new argument against Apple, is that they're the ones who are cutting everybody off.
That's actually, I've heard that a lot lately.
So at the Mobile World Congress, Steve Ballmer took aim at Apple's closed iPhone ecosystem with an ironic plea for openness. Openness is central because it's the foundation of choice. Of course, you must have forgotten Microsoft's efforts to vertically integrate hardware and software. It's history of vertically integrating software, all the different programs that they have. Yeah, so it's just kind of funny. It's, you know, Apple makes some great products. Don't get me wrong. I really like them.
Yeah, and
but there's definitely that, you know, hey, this is the way it is.
Yep, you got to play by our rules.
Here's your iPod. Make sure you use iTunes.
Yep. Otherwise, it doesn't really work right.
Yep.
Make sure you don't go outside the bounds of what we allow you to do.
And that's, to tell you the truth, Kev, the reason that I did not get an iPod.
Mm-hmm. It's a little limiting.
I like the idea that maybe I could have some choice. And there are other programs out there, but it seems like every time there's an update to iTunes.
But, you know, the Zune isn't the highest choice-wise. It's not true. As flexible as some of the other ones out there either.
Absolutely, I agree.
So,
but some of the other ones that were more flexible just didn't like as much. So, nope. Definitely been happy with the Zune.
No, that's good. This is the new iPod Shuffle was released. Smaller than ever. It's a nice aluminum case. You know, it's about the size of a AA battery. Yeah, aluminum. That's right. And I was just reading a review of that, and they said, well, you know, the only problem with it is humans. He said the new iPod Shuffle would be near perfect if humans didn't have to use it with their big fingers and hands. And that's the problem that Apple's facing, how to innovate, keep a product from stagnating while facing the physical limitations of humans. So it keeps getting smaller and smaller, and to have a button that a finger, you know, we're talking about a AA battery here. It's about that size. To be able to push a button on that thing, my finger is about the size, bigger than a AA battery. So yeah. There are some limitations that they're facing. So,
you know, I have to say, when the iPod Shuffle came out, I thought, that's really dumb.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, you can't even see a screen on there or anything. Well, I've used it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have to say that I like the iPod Shuffle.
Do you?
For the main purpose of exercising. It's so small.
Oh,
you can just.
For use when you're exercising.
Yeah, for use when you're exercising. Yeah, it's not an exercise device. Snapping a little thumb thing.
You know, maybe. Keep lifting it up and down 8 billion times.
But, you know, a lot of times you see people running and they have a full size iPod or other MP3 player and they're a little big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go with one of those little shuffles, gives you plenty of songs in there to listen to.
Yep.
Doesn't hold a lot, obviously, but...
And using the shuffle feature is kind of nice because then you don't hear the same thing every time.
Yep.
So, but with that, the complaint, you know, being it doesn't have a screen, they've added a feature. It's called VoiceOver, which enables the device to speak the song titles, artists, and playlist names on demand. So what it does is when you load tracks onto it, it kind of uses the tag that's on there to read that information back to you, which works as long as it has that tag information in it. The author asks the question, so the shuffle holds the least amount of songs of any iPod. Do you really need to remember what song is playing? He was kind of annoyed with the whole feature. So he said, you know, you put the songs on there. There aren't that many. You should probably remember who and what they are. So...
Yeah, that seems like a feature that I probably wouldn't use.
No, but it's on there in case you want it.
If you're listening, give us a call here, 395-1450, the computer guys here on WHTC. Dell has come out with a new laptop, Kev. They demoed it this week.
Sure.
It's the new Latitude E6400 XFR. Have you heard about this?
XFR? No, I've not.
Well, Panasonic has the Toughbook line.
Yep.
Which is by far the standard among rugged laptops.
Yeah, of the big ones. Now, there's some extreme ones out there fringe companies.
There are a lot of other companies who make them.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Panasonic Toughbook.
As far as people know.
Sure.
What they people will compare it to.
And we say this all-terrain. It's kind of weather-resistant. You know, it's got a little bit of splash capability. Rubberized edges, magnesium casing.
This one is designed to withstand drops, dust, and high-pressure water spray. Not just a little bit of water. The company claims the laptop, which is intended for military use, can withstand rain and wind gusts of up to 70 miles per hour. Can work in temperatures from negative 20 to 145 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's pretty good.
Can also work at for an hour at an altitude of 15,000 feet and is designed to withstand drops of around 4 feet when it's not on and 3 feet when it is on.
That's pretty good, too.
The LCD screen floats a little bit within the LCD cover so it can take those impacts and shocks.
Oh, interesting. Cost?
Starts, I think, around 4,000, 4,500.
Oh, it's
so they're not giving them out.
It's pricey. They tried, I think their first inroads in here was the ATG. They made the 630 ATG, which was not quite as extreme, but
no.
Kind of one of their first models.
You know, if you're more of an on-the-go type person, maybe you're working in. So anyway, I saw a video. They have a video. We could play it here, but I don't know how it would work with the audio with the radio. I'm not. So anyway, they show it, and they actually have it in a sink while it's on. And they're, you know, they've got it in a sink, and they've got one of those little sprayers.
Yeah.
Just spraying it over the screen and over the keyboard. And it's completely functioning. Then they've got it on a coffee table while it's on. And the guy just, you know, kind of whips it across the table, and it falls right off, tumbles over. And it's got a touch screen, too. So there's still, it's still operational.
Wow.
However, this is a pre-production model that they're using. So it's been used and tested quite a bit, right? They've dropped it.
Yep.
Well, what is a demo, Kev, without a problem?
Oh.
So they dropped it from 4 feet and it broke.
Oh.
But they said they had done that 100 times or more. So they said it's really not intended to be dropped quite that many times.
Sure. Now, it broke and a piece actually broke off or it just turned off or something?
They just say that it broke. The company that actually has this video was not allowed to keep that part of the footage.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
But no, I remember the first time I saw one of those Panasonic Toughbooks for laptop.
Cool.
They showed the top of the model line. The guy, he literally threw it, man, like 5-10 feet.
Yep.
With the lid shut, he just chucks it.
Crazy.
Bang, goes flying across the floor, picks it up, turns it on, and it works. Nothing's cracked. That's amazing.
Yeah, the impressive thing is if in the video, they dropped it off the coffee table. With it open, the lid open?
With it on, yeah.
See, the hinge is taking that kind of abuse. There's got to be some heavy-duty hinges in there.
Well, they have gaskets all around the, because you've got to be able to open it up for the optical drives
or
the other ports on there.
Yep.
And they've all got these little seals on there and
crazy.
They shut real tight so nothing gets in.
That is nice.
It's got a big handle on it.
It's like, man.
It's like
briefcase.
You could be wearing a big glove with that thing.
Looks pretty tough.
So I don't know if that particular laptop will be available for commercial use or for, I guess if you really want it, for home use.
Yeah.
But it's designed for military use.
That's right.
But it was pretty cool. I'll have to send you the video, Kev.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out. Thank you.
That was from, let's see here, where was that particular video from? ITworld.com.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, there's anything else in the news here?
Oh, okay, we got all kinds of things
stuff.
New.
All right.
This is another one. DVD burners.
Yep.
Everybody has them. Pretty much all new computers today come with them, right?
Pretty much.
Some of the lower-end ones, you can still get just the optical drive with a CD or maybe just a DVD player. But here we have an announcement, which we haven't had for a while. And honestly, this really isn't a complaint of most people, the speed of burning DVDs.
Yeah, they hold a lot of information, and I think people forget how long it takes to burn that much information. Because if you are burning a full disk, it takes a little while, especially if you're going to burn like a dual layer.
Yep, so here we have 24X DVD burners are hitting the market.
Okay, I think previous to this, 20?
22.
22, I'm not sure I've seen many 22s. So.
There's some uncertainty on which one will be the one, between Sony and Lite-On to market the first drive. But the fact is that DVD burners will once again exceed the maximum write speed limit going from 22X to 24X. Both companies will release the new optical drives between March and May. And though in practice the speed difference isn't amazing at all, the new breakthrough shows that firms continue to invest in a technology with a surprisingly long life. DVDs really have been around as kind of the standard for quite a while.
Yeah, and this was...
think about that. You know, before DVDs, we had CDs, which we still can use, of course.
Well, you mean for...
For storage.
Storage.
For a larger amount of storage.
Sure.
Yeah, so we've got DVDs now that we mostly use.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we had CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we'll say zip drives.
Sure, yep. Different formats of
before
zips.
That, floppies.
Floppies. Yep.
So...
Floppies were around for quite a while, too.
But I remember the first DVD burner that I saw for a computer was in what was that? 2000 or 2001.
Sure.
And it was pricey. It was like $800 more, $1,200.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember
it was a 1X.
Sure, the first CD burner, same thing. It was $700.
Yeah.
We bought one.
For that much?
I think I still have it sitting around.
I bet you do. Yeah. I bet it's in your office.
It was an old Phillips. It was an external one. It was,
you just can't
it was
get
pretty
rid of
sweet.
It, can you?
I got nostalgic value on that.
We should put some shelves in your office and call it...
put it in a little
instead
museum.
Instead of just stuff, it would just... You could give like put a year on it.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We could do that.
And then it would be like a display rather than just old stuff sitting around.
But, you know, it is it's its own kind of museum. Just requires a little more digging.
Most computers nowadays come with, what, a 16X DVD writer?
16, maybe 18.
That's pretty standard for most people.
A lot of the new ones, you know, 20X on the standalone drives.
Reminds me, Kev, I was, we got a new computer last week.
Oh, yeah,
for
that's
home
right.
use. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a new Dell. And I don't know the last time I burned a DVD. I just don't do it.
Sure.
So we have the new computer at home set up to be able to record television shows.
Yep.
So last week when I got it hooked up, I'm just browsing through the guide to see what shows are coming up, you know?
Sure.
It's pretty cool on being able to watch TV on the computer. And I see on the Travel Channel later that night, there's a show called The 21 Manly Man Adventure Vacations.
Wow.
So I decided to record it. And last night, you know, after I was done watching, and it was awesome, Kev. There's a lot of vacations that I need to go on.
Okay.
So anyway, I was going to, you know, as a part of Windows Media Center, you can, when you're done, or even when you have those shows on there, you can burn them to CD or DVD.
Okay.
And I was going to burn you a copy of that so you could watch it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I don't even have any blank DVDs.
That's going to be a problem.
But I have to say, Windows Media Center on Windows Vista is really pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's also cool to link up your Xbox and use that as your Media Center extender in case you don't have the computer in the same room as your TV. So there's a lot of cool features out there that people don't talk about a whole lot. So some nice integration.
Definitely a fan. Also, one other thing too, Kev, that sort of leads me into this next article, being able to watch TV on the computer and everything.
Yep.
Well, over the past 20 years, there's been a lot of speculation about the convergence of computers and TV, what that convergence would ultimately look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll talk about that in a second here. But let's go ahead and take this phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, what kind of TV programs can you watch on that media player on that Windows Vista?
Well, you have to have a input on it. So you still have to have either an antenna or cable or a satellite dish to hook up to it.
Well, okay.
But it does actually have built into it a lot of the online. There's a lot of online media that you can get now for free.
Uh-huh.
So there's still that, but what I was talking about is really pretty cool. On the back of our computer, it has a TV tuner built in, and we've got a little remote with it and everything. So it's kind of like a TiVo, only on your computer.
Okay.
So there are a lot of, like I said, the free programs that you can get online, but...
Yeah, so anything you'd normally watch on your TV, if you have cable, you can just watch through the computer and record it when you want to record it, whether you're watching it or not. You can schedule it ahead to record it, and then just play it back whenever you're ready.
Okay, so on that Windows Media on the Vista, you can do that.
Yep.
Do you have a laptop or a desktop?
Desktop.
Yep.
Yeah, the one thing you do need is the TV tuner card, which if you don't have it built into the computer, can be added to it. And then once that's in there... All you have to do is link the TV, or if you just want to watch it on a computer screen, you can do it that way, too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of my favorite features of the Windows Vista. You could still get it on XP. XP had the Media Center edition
Media Center,
as well.
Yep.
But on Vista Home Premium or on Vista Ultimate, it has the Media Center built in. It's that kind of green circle with the Windows logo on it. And to tell you the truth, Kev, I've noticed a lot of people don't really take advantage of Windows Media Center.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the hooking it up, you know, getting it linked to your TV.
But even if you don't have a TV, you can still use it.
Yep.
If you open up Windows Media Center, it's just nice. It gives kind of a nice graphical interface to be able to see all of your photos, play your music.
Yep.
It actually has a lot of online radio options to keep it simple for you. It's just an easy interface is what I like about it. You can do everything on your computer that you can do in Media Center, but it just makes it a little bit easier.
Sure.
But... So they say here, back to the article, convergence is turning out to essentially be replacement as opposed to convergence. TVs are being replaced by computers rather than kind of computers and TVs merging.
Yep.
So why did TV lose? Graham, who wrote this particular article, says there are four forces. Number one, the internet's open platform.
Sure.
Number two, Moore's Law worked its magic on internet bandwidth. Number three, piracy taught a new generation of users it's more convenient to watch shows on a computer screen. And number four are the social applications.
Interesting.
Facebook and whatnot.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and take this next call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Tim fixed my computer, or you guys fixed it yesterday. I picked it up. I get all this list of emails, and I click one, and it doesn't come up.
The email itself doesn't?
No. I mean, I can delete a whole bunch of them, but now I click one I want, and I can't. It doesn't come up.
For that one, I think you'd probably want to give our office a call, or I'll be back there in a little bit after we're done here. We could probably get that one taken care of for you.
Okay, so, goodbye.
Yeah, just give us a call there. Yep, thanks. Old version of Yahoo causing some problems with that one.
Oh, the new Yahoo Mail?
The new Yahoo Mail.
Yeah,
it hasn't worked 100% with everybody's computer.
Yep, and that really depends on having everything up to date as far as all the add-ins, Flash and Java and everything like that to get it to work correctly. And even then, sometimes it just doesn't work right on somebody's computer.
Let's go ahead and take this next one here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys. Oh,
sorry, is this a live program?
It is, yep.
I'm very sorry. I was trying to reach your radio station.
That's 392-3121.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot. But, the new Yahoo Mail, it's nice, but it's there's always, every time it seems like when you make an improvement on one thing,
if you can, depending on all the other stuff that people download, add-ins and toolbars, it can cause some problems. So that's definitely happened before.
Let's go ahead, Kev. We've got some more calls coming here, 395-1450. If you have some questions for us here, be happy to help. Good afternoon, call. You're on with the computer guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, you?
Hey, question that could easily be answered, but we have the Vista program, and we got a lot of family videos that we recorded and downloaded on the computer. Now we want to, make a storybook on a DVD. And, we got a lot of music that we do, too, but kind of weird. Sometimes it doesn't, except it downloads the video, but then you go to play it on your DVD, it doesn't show up, but the music does, or vice versa. I mean, what's a good CD to use? It's, kind of hard to understand the CDRW and CDRR. Yeah. It's just weird, but maybe you can answer that. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, sure. So, putting together some projects, little video presentations to be played back, sounds like on a DVD player. Now, you mentioned CDRs and CDRWs. I don't know if you're trying to play them off of a CD, because if you're trying to put a CD in a DVD player and get that to play video, it has to be done in what's called a VCD format, which is the only kind that will actually play. And if you're using some of the Windows-based utilities, you might have problems with that. Now, if you're trying to burn a DVD, most of those will work without any problem. A DVD-R is going to probably be your most reliable. DVD-R is an option as well. The rewritables, kind of a mixed bag as far as the kinds of DVDs to use. Use them from generally from a major manufacturer. Verbatim makes really good ones. Other companies, I kind of try and stay away from the no-name big stack of DVDs for $10 or whatever. Those seem to be hit or miss in different DVD players.
And the one thing, too, that is a little frustrating, not all DVDs will play in all DVD players that you burn from a computer. I've learned that for myself.
Generally,
for
the newer the player,
our DVD player doesn't work,
the better, but that's not always the way. So sometimes you can even switch your brands of CDs or DVDs, and it'll start working. So,
and Windows Media actually has a DVD maker built right in, which is a movie maker.
Sure.
Nice one for making movies. Let's go ahead and take this call here, Kev. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I just started listening, so I don't know. Maybe you addressed this before. Are we still going to be able to watch all the basketball games on the computer?
You're talking about the March Madness coming up here in a week?
Yeah.
I hope so. It was a few years ago that they had some technical difficulties, but I believe that I think you have to go to CBSSportsLine.com is where they'll actually be playing those. The March Madness games from?
Okay.
So as far as I know, it should be kind of the same as last year.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's definitely, Kev, my, as you know, least productive time of the year.
Ugh, great. So why don't you just not even bother coming in, because you're not going to be any good anyway.
You got to have somebody to talk to about the games.
Yeah, right.
No, it is really pretty cool. A couple years ago, when they first started doing March Madness on the computer, They just weren't quite ready for prime time. I mean, it was, the videos were...
Well, the demand was
buffering,
so huge.
Yeah, you, first of all, you couldn't get in because they didn't have enough, I guess, bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you finally got in, then it would be slow and choppy, and then all of a sudden it would just completely stop, and you'd have to close it and try it again. So it's I would say, should be back in business now.
All right, this is kind of interesting. Hitachi will plead guilty in fixing LCD prices. Did you hear about that?
Fixing them, like...
To fix prices on the sale of LCD panels. They pled guilty to that. They're ordered to pay $31 million. They admitted to fixing prices of the screens sold to Dell for use in desktop monitors and notebook computers from 2001 to 2004. Three other major producers of LCD panels have already admitted their involvement in price fixing. So LG, Sharp, and Chugwa Picture Tubes all struck similar agreements last year. So maybe after that means the prices of LCDs will come down or something like that. But so
also,
shady business going
one
on.
One other thing, too, Kev, as far as basketball games and whatnot online, WHTC does streaming for a lot of the sports. You can go right to the website,
yep,
WHTC.com, and if there's an out-of-area game, or even if you live out-of-area and need to tune in, I'm not exactly sure every one that they do, but I know they do that quite a bit. So,
yep. So always you can check that out. Hop on their website and check that out.
And while you're online, you can go to domyhomework.com, which allows your children to pay older students to do their homework for them.
Oh, nice.
Yep, it's a new French website. They also have a French version.
You want to? Are you trying to pronounce French, that? Come on, let's hear it.
You know, let's just not even.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm
not going to do it.
I know how to say the second part of it. I just don't know how to say the first part. I only took 1 year of French. Hey, give me a break here.
Okay.
It's been a little while.
All right.
So
all right.
Anyway,
I'll let it go.
DoMyHomework.com allows children to buy answers to simple math problems for €5, which is about $6. A full end year of presentation, complete with slides and speaking notes, costs about €80.
So, wow. That's crazy. Well, too bad we're done with school, huh?
I know.
You can go check that out, wouldn't you?
Maybe. I don't know. You have to pay for that, though. So kind of an odd website to have. I just thought that was kind of funny. They didn't have those when we were kids. You actually had to do the homework.
I know.
Or just get a bad grade for not doing it.
That's right. That's kind of the way things used to work. Either did it or didn't do well in school.
We only have about a minute and a half left here, Kev, so let me just cover these other two quick stories. This is a story. Boy, was this the Washington Post came from? No, Fortune, sorry. Patty McConnell is pretty much a typical Facebook user. The Calgary, Alberta resident has been a member of the social networking site for more than a year. She uses Facebook to stay in touch with friends, check out family members' pictures, and play word games such as Scrabble and Twist. Did we mention that McConnell is 61 years old? I think it's wonderful, the computer said. Though she admits she is still getting used to having the ability to peer into other people's personal lives.
Oh.
She says, sometimes you wonder if you're not being nosy.
Yeah, but you know, when it's out there on the internet, it's kind of fair game.
So forget the stereotypes that you have about seniors using or fearing technology. They're eagerly embracing Facebook and other high-tech solutions in a big way.
It's good to hear.
According to Inside Facebook, a website which is devoted to tracking the social network, the fastest growing group of new U.S. users on Facebook are women 55 to 65 years old.
Wow.
That group has grown 175% from September 30 to February 1.
That's amazing. Anyway.
So she also enjoys Skype and her iPod.
There you go.
She is not afraid of technology.
High tech. I like to hear it.
So it's obviously... Have you fallen the minority who has yet to adopt Facebook?
I'm waiting for the next big thing.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just going to skip it.
Although they did learn from their users that they're redoing their privacy policies and they're asking their users for input. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to catch us, you can always check out the podcast or pass it on to your friends. Easiest way to do that, type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store, and you can listen to us anytime you want. Again, if you want to get a hold of us during the week, give us a call at our office. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
All right, well, thanks again. And don't forget to check out the podcast. It's free. Just check out the iTunes store. And thanks again, and we'll be back next week.